Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, a chapter called Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. And we're on text 16. Shri Uddhava Uvacha, Samshayakshinvato Bhacham, Tava Yogeshvareshvara, Nani Vartata Atmasto, Nina Dhamyati Nenaha, Chiruvavacha, Samshayakshinvato Vacham, Tava Yogeshvareshvara, Nani Vartata Atmasto, Jena Bhavyat Vine Namaha. Shri Uddhava Vacha, Shri Uddhava said, Samshayaha, doubt, Shrinvataha, of the one who is hearing, Vacha, the words, Tava, your, Yoga Ishvara, of the Lords of Mystic Power, Ishvara, you who are the Lord, Na nivartate, will not go away. Atma, in the heart. Staha, situated. Yena, by which. Brahmyati, is bewildered. Ni, ma, ma, naha, mind. Translation, purport. Shri Uddhava said, O Lord of all masters and mystic power, I have heard your words. But the doubt in my heart does not go away. Thus my mind is bewildered. Therefore, In the first verse of the 10th chapter of this canto, the Lord stated that one should take shelter of Him and execute one's duties within the Varnashram system without material desire. Uddhava interpreted this statement as recommending karma mishra bhakti, or devotional service, mixed with a tendency toward fruitive activities. It is a fact that until one understands Lord Krishna to be everything, it is not possible to retire from ordinary worldly duties. Rather, one is encouraged to offer the fruits of such work to the Lord. In verse 4 of the 10th chapter, the Lord recommended that one retire from worldly act duties and systematically cultivate knowledge, accepting Him as the Supreme. We would have understood this instruction to indicate jnana mishra bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord, mixed with secondary desire to accumulate knowledge. Beginning with verse 35 of the 10th chapter, Uddhava inquired about the process of material conditioning and liberation from material life. The Lord replied elaborately, stating that without devotional service, the process of philosophical speculation can never be perfected. In chapter 11, verse 18, the Lord emphasized the importance of faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in verse 23, Krishna extensively widened his discussion of devotional service, emphasizing that one should be faithful and hear and chant the glories of the Lord. The Lord concluded that both the development and perfection of devotional service depend on association with the devotees. In verse 26 of the 11th chapter, Uddhava inquired about the actual ways and means of devotional service and about the symptoms of devotional perfection. And in verse 48, Lord Krishna stated that unless one takes to the process of devotional service, one's attempt for liberation will be useless. One must associate with the devotees of the Lord and follow in their footsteps. Finally, in verse 14 of this chapter, the Lord categorically rejected the paths of fruitive activities and mental speculation, and in verse 15 recommended that one exclusively surrender unto Him with all one's heart. Having received such elaborate and technical instructions on the perfection of life, Uddhava is bewildered, and his mind is afflicted with doubt about what he should actually do. Lord Krishna has described many procedures and the results of such procedures, all of which ultimately lead to the single goal of the Lord Himself, Lord Krishna Himself. Uddhava therefore desires that Lord Krishna state in simple terms what should be done. Arjuna makes a simple, similar request to the Lord at the beginning of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Uddhava is stating here, "My dear friend Krishna, first you recommended that I perform worldly activities within the upper national system, and then advise that I reject such activities and take to the path of philosophical research. Now, rejecting the path of jnana, you recommend that I simply surrender to you in bhakti yoga. If I accept your decision, in the future, you may again go back to your original point and recommend worldly activities." By his boldness in disclosing his mind, Uddhava reveals his intimate friendship with Lord Krishna. So there are many places in the Vedic scripture where there's a very profound statement that doubts are demons. And so when I think of a demon, I think of someone who has a lot of mystical power, and like superhuman power. It can just all of a sudden just pops out of nowhere for no reason. He can come out and he can disappear when he likes, comes out when he likes. Energy can bewilder you. He can completely control you. This is also what I think of as a demon. And you can see the similarities, why this is chosen, this word of a demon, because doubts, they just come out of nowhere. You'll be just doing a nice little service for years and years, and all of a sudden this doubt just pops out of the middle of nowhere. And you start, well, you know, why am I coming, you know, so early in the morning, or why I'm doing this, why I'm doing that. So yes, these doubts can be demons. And even a devotee with a very long standing, even we hear of great saints and sages that become bewildered and fall down from the path of devotional service. So it's a serious thing. And even your Uddhava, the most cherished devotee of Lord Krishna, is doubting. Because it seems a little bewildering that, you know, he's been recommending different things, and now what if he goes back and goes back to on the first thing that he recommended, which is not what he recommended at the end. So he is, it's a very transcendental doubt. But he's just showing how he can, you know, beg Krishna to please, just, can you just make it real simple for me? And so we are anxious to hear all of that. The Gita, actually says that to get rid of this doubt, we need to become saturated with knowledge. We really need to come filled up with the absolute truth by hearing from the scriptures and by hearing from the pure devotees. And that will restore and to solidify our faith in this devotional service. And it will demolish all these different doubts that might arise. Here, Uddhava is saying that the doubt has gone to his heart. Now, we can just hear knowledge, and it can actually, you know, calm the mind and intelligence, maybe satisfy it for some time. But if the doubts have really gone to the heart, then we have to really do a real big cleansing and actually realize the knowledge, not just read it and study it, but actually realize the knowledge by the purifying process of devotional service. And then it will cleanse all that dirt that might keep us from actually seeing the Supreme Lord, because this doubt can be a big obstacle in our heart. So we should listen very carefully and then engage in devotional service, and that will dispel all this darkness. Because we know that demons, they come out at night in the dark, right? So if our heart is very dark, this is also very attractive to doubt. It might just pop in. Also, if there's something very, we understand that if a place is very dirty, that also is very attractive for demons and for ghosts and things like that, impurities. So we have to be very careful in our practices that we are clean in heart and clean in body and soul, because otherwise we will attract these doubts. There'll be a weak spot. And as soon as they see something weak, they'll attack. Especially if we're inattentive. Then also, even in our chanting, we find that the mind all of a sudden just comes up with all these crazy ideas as soon as there's a gap. Or if we're thinking of spacing out for a few minutes, and it takes a while to get back into the chanting. So these are things that we have to regularly practice in our devotional service to avoid this doubt coming. Just like on a battlefield, it's one of the most detrimental things is to be inattentive or to be tired or something like that, because that's when the demons see that, now their guards are down, go for it. And then, before you know it, you're history, right? You're finished. So we have to not having a kind of a vacation mentality that we can just take a little break for a while in our Krishna consciousness and go off and do some other things, and we'll come back next week and we'll get back into our japa, we'll get back and headlong into study and everything. But meanwhile, there's so many nice books at the library, and I relax and just read something else for a while, watch some TV, something like that. And then we're asking for trouble. So best to keep very steady in all of our practices. Especially for the neophyte, we can see that, without real strong practices, that sometimes it's really hard to accept the inconceivability of what is told about Krishna in the scriptures. I remember Sataputra sitting here one time, or maybe he gave a class one time, and on one of his yellow sheets of paper that he would do all his calculations, someone read in class that how many people were at the guards or something of Yudhisthira or something like that, and it was like an outrageous amount of people. I mean, you could not conceive of that many people even being on the planet. And he figured out how many people would fit into a football stadium by his something like that. And he figured out, anyway, it was like inconceivable. But, devotees said, why not? But for neophytes, it might be a little bit of a stretch, too big of a stretch for their faith. And we find that, like this whole moon thing with that devotee, too much of a stretch. No, they went to them and look at it. You can see it right on ABC, right there. You can see it picking up the dust. You know, and it was, he didn't have the faith, and therefore he went away. So we should understand how to act. And so Prabhupada was very kind. In the beginning, Satyabhama, she wrote a letter to Prabhupada, revealing about, very intimate devotee of Prabhupada at that time, and just like Uddhava here, and this is the reply that Prabhupada gave, not exactly per word, but in general. Prabhupada said that, I see that you're having some doubt about accepting that our Krishna, the Krishna that I've described in the Krishna book, so it must have just come out, is really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these stories I'm telling you about Krishna, she was doubting that this is really the Supreme Person of God. And so Prabhupada says, that it is best that you discuss all these books, all my books, with other devotees. That you should study them, come together and discuss them. He says that thoughts will always change. He says even great sages, that different thoughts will come and go. And, that it's, very difficult, you know, for, one to not feel some kind of doubt at some time. He described that there's, you know, first there's the thinking and then the feeling and then the willing. And if we can stop all this, we can stop it to get to that willing point of actually like moving or something like that. If we employ our intelligence daily, employ it daily in reading these books, and discussing it and preaching. I think he just read a second ago how important it is that the preaching is to actually wash away any kind of doubt. So this is, because the philosophy is very powerful. And if we can be very fixed, that we'll be able to defeat any challenge. And he says, why do you think I can defeat any challenge? Because my intelligence is fixed. I'm able to see clearly. So this is very, very important that, and then the Prabhupada went on to say that if we pray also to Krishna, if we're having some doubt, to pray to Krishna, and that he will give you the intelligence. And he, especially for a very sincere devotee, that he will immediately come to assist. So that's nice to know that if, you know, that little demon sitting on your shoulder starts whispering in your ear sometime, pray loud to Krishna, quick, don't let it go any further, don't let it go past this little outer part here, especially don't let it go up to my heart, and Krishna will come and assist you. So we should remember that if these demons decide to attack. And there's also another reason why some demon might attack is because we have a big false ego, and it's hard for us to accept that this one person who's standing right here is the Supreme Person, and that I'm not. That actually he possesses every single thing and knows everything. And so we might, have a problem with this being a humble servant of that Supreme Person, and hard to accept that very important point. And for Westerners, one of the most difficult problems with doubt is because we're very impatient. We want something now. I want my pure, you know, devotion last week, or 10, 50 years ago I wanted it when I, you know, had been a devotee for 2 weeks. I want that sound of Krishna's flute while I'm chanting japa. Where is it? Where is it? Now. I want all these bad habits to go away, and I don't want to be harassed by doubts. So that can rattle, you know, our faith, that where is, you know, it was advertised. Stay high forever. Hey, you know, I'm not up there. So we want things black and we want white. We want to know what's material, what's spiritual. And so some devotees can be very bewildered, and therefore doubts come. Well, is this really transcendental? They're doing it, but is it really transcendental? Prabhupada wants us. And so that can be very bewildering to devotees. So as Prabhupada recommends, discuss this with advanced devotees. We have that sadhu shastra, and become very clear in what the intentions are. Prabhupada just of course discusses the two different processes of obtaining knowledge, and that's descending and ascending. And of course it's recommended the descending process, which gets rid of all the mental state of, you know, speculation, and it also, you avoid all that argumentation that can harbor this doubt. Whereas in ascending, you know, we're thinking that, you know, equipped with, very ill-equipped in this body, in this teeny tiny little brain, and so conditioned, blinders on our sides, and bad habits, we think we can sit down and figure out everything. You're not going to get anywhere. You're actually going to just get bewildered or laughed at, ultimately. So the descending process, just listen, hear and accept. As Prabhupada said, just take it. You know, it's perfect knowledge. And we can't even understand, Prabhupada said, we can't even understand how our fingernails are growing or anything like that, what less understanding the potency and aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So with these limited senses and defects, we should just take to the descending process and avoid all these. But what if, all those should be out of our vocabulary. And we can all testify, I think everyone here in this room can testify, of that unparalleled satisfaction that we got when we heard the philosophy in the beginning. It's just like, it just answered every single question. It was so satisfying to the soul also that this is the absolute truth. There was no reason to doubt it. We have, you know, the pure devotees right there showing you how he was abide, fearless. Because this is one of the symptoms of one who's not doubting. Totally fearless. So that faith can grow once we do accept and become enthusiastic in engaging in the surrendering process. So we do know that the best thing is just to accept without any doubt. If we have to doubt something, doubt this material world. Doubt all the, you know, all the imperfections and all the different speculators, and doubt that you're going to ever really be happy here, that you're ever going to, you know, be peaceful. Just leave it aside. Let it for those people that want to enjoy the fruits of their karma. They can have it all. Let them have the whole thing. So doubt this material world. There's a very nice story. And this is about the Adikavi. Who is? Who? Valmiki. Yes, his name was Ratnakar. And he was actually born of a great sage family. And then he got lost in the forest, and he was taken over by some hunters. And he became very expert at hunting. And he had a family and everything, but then he had so much trouble maintaining his family, and so he took to plundering and stealing and doing sinful activities, and just to maintain. And one time in the forest, he ran into Narada Muni, of course, who appeared on the scene. And Narada Muni goes, you know, why are you doing all these sinful things, you know? And he said, well, you know, I have to maintain, and besides, you know, my family, they're very devoted to me, and I'm very devoted to them. It's very important for me to maintain them. And the Narada Muni goes, so you're doing all these sinful activities. Do you think they're willing to accept some of the results of these sinful activities? He says, of course they are. And, of course. And so he, Narada Muni says, maybe you should go inquire from them. And so he did. And when he found out that the parents said, no way, you know, you owe this to us, and it's your business, it's, you know, it's your duty, and I'm not going to share any of the results of these sinful activities. Same with his children, and the whole family said, no way. And so he went back to Narada Muni and said, I can't believe it. Here I am putting all my faith in my material relationships and everything that I've been working so hard for, and immediately was able to transfer that the faith of the material world to Krishna. So if it was that easy for everybody, you know, sometimes we have to get pinched, and sometimes we do see, like in a crisis coming like this. I'm sure a lot of people know in Houston, things like that, when they saw the flood waters rising and things like that, or if you've been on a plane and all of a sudden there'll be like a big dip or some horrible noise. Hey, God, you know, even the atheist next to you will say, God, you know, because there's no other, what other shelter is there, you know? There must be somebody out there. It's not here. All over the city, you'll find in churches and places like that, they say, safe place. You're not going to find a safe place. It's just not a safe place. Even though you might, you know, take shelter in your little mobile home over here, or even in the temple here, during the hurricane, you might not be safe, you know. Although we're with Krishna, so he'll take care of it. But, so material world, yeah, the best place is with Krishna. Stay very tight with Krishna, and the fear will go away. And you'll be able to feel that shelter, that protection of Krishna. Because Krishna does powerfully say, he declares boldly that he will protect his devotees, regardless of what's going on. So for us, we can call out the name of Krishna any moment. And those doubts can go away, and we can feel the protection of Krishna. So someone raised a doubt to Prabhupada one time and said, what if Krishna isn't God? And Prabhupada replied that, he says, the satisfaction of just serving Krishna, even if he isn't God, is so nice that we'll continue doing it anyway, even if he's not God. Because it's just some satisfaction in it. We're having such a nice time doing it. So even if he isn't God, we'll stay here. What else? It's going to give you more pleasure. I mean, it's not like we're faking the pleasure, you know. If we were faking it, we would be tempted to go out there and try some of those other crazy things that they say you can do to be happy. But no, we're actually experiencing some pleasure. Even if he isn't God, hey, it's awful nice serving him. I don't know about you, but it's worth getting up early in the morning and chanting his name and coming here and seeing such beautiful darshan on festivals and things like that and tasting his food, remnants. What could be nicer? So a faithful devotee recognizes that purity is important to get that goal of life, and therefore he's able to take vows. He's actually able to be willing to serve his whole lifetime without deviation. And that's a big step that is so important, because without it, you don't really start the surrendering process. Not really. So initiation is extremely important. It will wash away those doubts, because you're locked in. Now you're locked into serving Krishna. And you feel that security. And that devotee, that pure devotee can actually see later on that, oh, there's an anartha. Anarthas are out there ready to influence us. But because of that purity and because of that vow, then he's not effective. You can see that I'm just a servant of Krishna. I don't need to go there. I don't need all those different things. I just need the purity of devotional service. And that's because that seed has been planted by taking those vows. And you get the blessings of Guru and Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it describes it for the doubting soul that there's really no standing, that you're on shaky ground, right? And you can be blown over at any moment, and you can fall down. So best not to stand on that ground without any secure hold, because otherwise there won't be any progress in spiritual life to live with all these but what if. You just can't go ahead. And because of that, you will not be happy. For the doubting soul, there's never happiness. And so until we reach that stage, we should understand that if we do reach that stage, that Maya will ultimately come and pay obeisances and go away and not bother us anymore. Those doubts will go away. But until then, we have to realize that there can be some, we can expect some turbulences, just like we might be getting some turbulences the next few days. But in the airplane, what do they say when there's some turbulence? Please remain in your seat, tighten your seat belts, right? So in the same way, if some doubts come, remain in your seats, devotees, just stay here under the shelter of Krishna, chant your Hare Krishnas, regularly, hear Bhagavatam regularly, stay belted into the instructions of your spiritual master, and you won't be thrown around, even amongst the worst hurricane of doubts and ups and downs in this material world, which will come even way down the path. So we have to throw away all those ill thoughts and stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. And we can do that by just remembering that every single thing we do is a gain in Krishna consciousness. There's really no loss whatsoever. I read a nice thing about that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Someone asked him, what is the most important thing in Krishna consciousness? And he said, not to waste time. Don't waste this human form of life doubting. Don't waste time, because you could. You could waste years of Krishna consciousness advancement. So we should become very fixed. The antithesis of doubting is to be very fixed in consciousness. And then we become so potent that we can benefit others. And that is the greatest thing for our spiritual advancement, is that we can not only benefit by the advancement, but we can help other people. So these are some things that I thought about doubts. Maybe someone else would like to add something or have a question? One thing we definitely should never doubt is that Prabhupada has given us everything. Yes, Tripam.
Talking far. For the materialists, because they're so much on the bodily concept, then and they're perceiving things with their limited senses, then they have so many doubts, and especially like within the universe, they're trying all over the universe to find life, but they can't find any life. So that creates a big doubt for them. But for us, we know that life can be in different dimensions, and so that's one of the reasons that they're not able to perceive it. But So with this doubt, I mean, how would you enlighten them?
Which doubt?
The doubt of not perceiving, say, lacks, with your limited senses.
You have to be a little humble to realize that you are limited. And therefore, we just accept it, because we understand it's on a different dimension. It's a whole different dimension. Actually, one of the most prevalent doubts of devotees in Krishna consciousness, even over devotees, is of contradictions, especially in the books. I remember I gave a Bhagavad Gita to my sister in the very beginning to read, and my sister said, she's a very heady person, professor and everything, and she said, there's contradictions in this Bhagavad Gita, But they're transcendental contradictions. We don't mind when Prabhupada says this here and that there. It might seem like a contradiction, but it's a transcendental thing. For so devotees, they have to jump up onto that transcendental platform. And then we aren't limited by our material senses anymore. We have to become transcendental. And then we can very easily accept. So it's just a step up. If we remain down on the limited platform, then forget it. We're not going to go anywhere. But we're up here. We're in the spiritual world. Everything is so transcendental. So if there's a little contradiction, or if they say that there's life, on wherever, we know there's life on every planet. All the way on the scene, it's not a problem. Shisha Prabhu.
Thank you. I just want to mention that I liked how you explained doubts, because we tend to think it's my doubt, but it's really some just material nature just putting these doubts running through our head, and we grab onto them rather than just let them pass through. That's when the problem starts. And we don't take ownership of the doubts. It's just something that comes and goes, like clouds moving. Thank you.
If we slow down too much, then we start entertaining these doubts. We have to really be constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, not slow down. Otherwise, we'll catch up to it.
First thing in first canto, fifth chapter, when Narad Muni is revealing his seeing his disciple Vyasadeva said, and then he's revealing the secret how he came where he is today. And in one of the purport in the beginning, Prabhupada writes that in our Krishna consciousness movement, all the children should be trained into this philosophy for two reasons. One is, as they grow, the attachment to the material sense object will rise and they can remain detached. And the second point, he says, the doubt will arise naturally and they can, with that philosophy, they can cut into pieces those doubts. So it is necessary, as you say, it's very necessary for us.
Yeah, even some devotee children and things like that go away for some time. Mm-hmm. It's just the knowledge is sitting there. I know one daughter of one person who was quite far out there in the material world, left on her own and stuff like that. And then someone came by knocking on a door and was handing out some transcendental. The devotee giving out books, and the person she was living with, you know, picked up the book and was reading it, and then I guess they didn't know she was raised as a devotee, and she started, you know, defending the book, you know, and that because she still had that knowledge there, so she was, you know, ended up preaching. So yeah, you can't miss that. It's there, you know. We have to take it very deep in our hearts, and you can start like Balaam Maharaj when you're young.
We were just talking about this, my son and a few of his friends last week. One of the devotees was talking about he had some doubts. And I asked him, what is sadhana was? And what a shock, there wasn't any sadhana. So if you don't participate, if you don't avail yourself to this, then you can't expect to understand. And these are kids that were born in the movement. And because they've been participating in, fill in the blanks, any other thing, except actually old-fashioned sadhana Hare Krishna, they're lost. Most of them, don't, you can ask them a question, they don't know anything. Now, somewhere in their heart, you know, it's got to be there. But I just told them, I said, what I do is I read every single day. And if you can't read or something, turn on one of your devices, any electronic thing, and just say Prabhupada on there, and you'll have 50 choices to listen to. But if you don't do that, it's funny, I was listening to Vaishnava, and he was quoted Prabhupada saying, this is not that difficult. Give 10% of your time to Krishna. That's only 2 hours and 40 minutes a day. That's like your 16 rounds. So Prabhupada said, if you can give 10%, he mentioned the Pachetas, they gave 10,000 years, which was 10% of their life. You know, if you look at it that way, you know, 10,000 years, oh my God, but it's only 10% of your life, so a couple of hours a day, give it to Krishna, and then you won't have to think, oh, what am I going to do? Because that's what happens. This is what happens to the jiva, the poor lost jiva. He gets away from Krishna, and then he gets scared. The Bhagavatam says the only reason there's fear is because of misidentification. So the false ego scares everybody. Just like now, everybody's freaking out because they just watched Houston on television, and now they're looking at us, and they're like, oh my God. And so they're either going to buy a bunch of water and some canned goods, or get in the car and head north. But if you just chill with Krishna, whether you die in a hurricane or whether you survive, you'll be spiritual and you'll be saved. So you have to participate.
When I think of doubts, I often remember that the doubt that I have would exactly parallel
my intention to not surrender to Krishna in some way. if I want sense gratification, or if I want to be one with Krishna, then I need a justification. And you can explain this to human society. You know, the scientists, even if they see evidence that, you know, there were human beings millions of years ago on this planet, they just deny it because they're totally invested in the materialistic way of life and absolutely determined not. So material nature just provides a reason. That's what I think when a doubt comes to me. This parallels my material desires. And so you said doubts take place in the dark. it's really true.
Nope, keep in mind. Hare Krishna, Lord.
Arigato.